Today my guest is Mark Rendell. Mark, how are you, sir?
I'm very well, thank you.
It's great to meet you. You were talking about a project that you were working on. You work on a lot of projects, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
the one that I'm thinking of right now is the simple.data.
Simple.data, yes.
What is that?
It's a data access. It's not an ORM.
It's not an ORM.
It's not, okay. That's the kind of tagline for it. It's not an ORM because there are no objects and it doesn't have to work with relational databases and it doesn't necessarily do any mapping.
okay.
But it looks like an ORM. So it's a data access layer
for .NET
or tool for .NET specifically .NET 4.0 because it uses the dynamic feature.
Okay, that's where you can statically type an object as type
dynamic and basically tell the compiler to go away and sulk and just go, well, it's up to you. If that works at runtime, then it works and well done. So, yes, and it's inspired by Ruby's ORMs like Active Record and Data Mapper and SQL, which they have in the Ruby world, which basically let you call methods and access properties that aren't there and then work out what that means at runtime.
Okay.
So the simplest example is that you call the database.open method and that returns a dynamic object.
Okay.
And then you can access a property on that object and it will say, okay, I'll call that a table. And then you can call a method on that object and say find by email.
Okay.
And it will look at that method name at runtime and say find by, so that's a select.
Well, let's back up just a little bit. We don't have code on the screen to show, but the database.open is start.
So yeah, you say
start off, now I've got this dynamic object.
Yeah.
And now that dynamic object, let's call it DB
is what we.
So now we have a DB dot customer.
Yeah.
Represents a customer table.
That's right.
So yeah. All right.
And you say DB dot customer dot find by name.
Okay.
And then just pass a string into that method or pass a variable that you've got from a web request or whatever. And so db.customer.findByName will be converted into, usually if you're using a relational database, the ADO adapter, then that will become select star from customer where name equals.
Okay, so okay. That parsing out and that conversion happens at runtime.
Yeah, so that's okay. All done, and you've actually got the simple data layer, which deals with working out what the actual calls mean and turning that into a kind of meta query. And then there's an ADO adapter, which then turns that meta query into SQL statements with parameters and all that good stuff. And then you've got providers, which actually execute that SQL against a variety of database engines.
Okay. Those last two have to be related because not every database engine implements the same SQL.
No. So there are lots of extension points where the people who are writing the database providers can say, okay, this database needs to do this in this particular way.
Okay.
And I kind of add those extension points as guys come along and they write a provider for a particular database engine and they say, yeah, Oracle doesn't work that way. Oracle doesn't have identity. For example, Oracle uses sequences to do auto numbering, and so the guy who was writing the Oracle provider said, how can I do this? And I said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll give you an interface called iCustomInserter, and then you do the Oracle way of automatically returning the record that was just inserted, which I believe is to do with a row ID column that exists on every table. Another example is if you do skip and take in simple data, so if you have a record set being returned, you can put skip 10, take 10 to do paging, and that's completely different. I think there are three different ANSI standards on how to do paging in SQL. And so with SQL Server, for example, you do over this query with row number, and then do a where row number between this and this. Whereas with MySQL, you say limit 10 comma 10.
Okay.
And then all the other databases do it in different ways. So there's just a thing which actually passes the SQL down and says, there you go, do that page.
Okay. So relevant code. Let me go ahead on what exactly you're building. So you built this framework, this Data Simple framework.
Yeah.
And you also made it work with at least a couple of databases, right?
So I made it work with SQL Server to start off with, and I also do a SQL Server Compact version or provider. And those are the two that I use to drive the development of the core thing.
Okay, and they've made it extensible enough that other people can plug in and make it work with Oracle.
And there's two kind of layers of extensions. So there's Simple Data Core, which just passes the queries and takes dictionaries back from an adapter. So you have a dictionary of string object, and then it turns those into either a dynamic object, or you can automatically cast them to a static type, and it just hydrates statically typed objects. And then there are providers for the adapter. So the ADO adapter has its own plugin model for providers, which then lets it talk to specific databases. So I write the core, the ADO adapter, and the providers for SQL Server and SQL Server Compact. Then there are other guys who have written providers for Oracle, Infomix, Sybase, SQL Anywhere, MySQL, PostgreSQL, and SQLite.
Okay. Well, those are all relational databases.
Those are all relational databases. There's another guy who has written an adapter for MongoDB, which represents most of the same kind of functionality, but does it in different ways, and he has to turn everything into like JavaScript queries and functions and so forth. And another guy who has just released the first version of an OData adapter, which will take exactly the same query, but turn it into an OData query and pass the OData sort of Atom XML data that comes back and then push that back up. But as far as you're concerned, when you write db.table.findbySomething, you don't really want to worry too much about what the underlying data store is.
You just want a collection of
objects. You just want a collection of objects to come back that are filtered on the name.
Okay.
And so for the most part, everything you can do against one back end, you can do against another back end. And we're trying to make sure that it's pretty much interchangeable, although obviously there are things that you would do with MongoDB that you just flat out wouldn't do with a relational database. So it's not saying don't worry about what back end you're using, because you still have horses for courses. But you have a uniform syntax and the same approach to writing the code.
So this maybe isn't, or maybe it is. Is this a solution that you could write a, say, a front end that could potentially connect to a lot of different back end databases?
Yes, yeah.
You could do that, okay.
And so I know there are a couple of projects where they're saying because it's written using Simple Data, it will run on any database. As long as we can, as long as it supports the data types that they need.
As long as that provider exists.
And there's another guy, there are a couple of projects out there that, so when Ruby and Rails developers quite often have a SQLite database that they use for development and running their unit tests and so forth, there are spec tests or whatever. But then the production system runs against MySQL or PostgreSQL. We have a PostgreSQL provider as well. And so people are using Simple Data like that as well. So they have an in-memory SQLite database, which they populate and run their tests against that, their behavior tests and their BATIN or whatever. And then they go into production and it's running against SQL Server or Oracle or whatever. And there is absolutely no syntactic difference. You don't have to actually put in any conditionals in your code to say if it's using Oracle, then do this.
Whereas, you mentioned that there are different databases implement things in different ways. So you want to do like paging, for example, you've got some abstraction to the users of your framework or shielded from that. But what about features that just aren't implemented at all in certain databases? Do I just have to avoid those if I want to have a cross-platform thing?
Yeah. So if there's something, if you've chosen a particular database, one thing that came up is PostgreSQL actually implements the ANSI array column type. No other database does that, and I had a couple of people saying, you know, the reason I've chosen PostgreSQL is because there's this array column type and that's fantastic, and I've had to say you're going to have to use ADO.NET for that bit.
Okay.
There's